Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Are you ready to worship God even more so? Well, there's a lot of different ways that we worship Him. But whatever method that we use, whether it's giving, whether it's sowing, whether it's ministering to people, whether it's singing, whatever it is, we want to make sure that it's done in spirit and in truth. Is that correct? Because when we worship Him in spirit and truth, the method of any other things of how we're doing it, as long as that's there, we're going to be okay. Well, one of the ways we're going to worship Him today is we have some children that are on these two trees that are needing help this Christmas. I think there's about 12 tags on this one, 12 tags. There used to be. I don't know how many's on there now. Some of you have already gotten it. But what I'd like for you to do is Pastor Charlie, you're still here? If you'll lead us in joy to the world, and you come up and get one of these tags and take it back with you, and we just need the gifts back by December the 13th. Okay? Go ahead, Charlie. Okay, are there any tags left on this tree? No. How about this one? No tags left. Thank you so much. I know the children will appreciate it, and they will feel loved on. I want to say thank you to the... aren't the decorations beautiful? I just love this time. I really do. But I want to say thank you to the staff and the Swanson family. They came in and helped us. We had about 10 people here all together. But I have a special, but they did all of this. I mean, they really did. And I'm just so grateful that we have a group of people that just jump in and just with a great heart and great service to the Lord. But I have one to be really special thank you for, and that is little Lynn Hopper. She is our resident monkey. All of this up here, the little monkey got up and she took care of every little light, every little limb, and every little curve on the stand up, Lynn. Our little monkey is with us today. A few years ago, we were talking about who's going to get up on this big ladder, and she said, "I will do it." And I'm like, we don't really want you doing this. No, I will do it. I will do it. You know, and then next thing I know, she's like, she just climbs up that ladder. And from that time on, she became our little monkey. But she's a sweetheart. She really is. But the Swanson family came in, and with their children, they did an awesome job helping us. And but Kim, are you here? Is Kim here? Kim Swanson, she might not be. She had knee surgery. But if you're listening, Kim, about all you did was give orders. But orders need to be given. No, she worked on the bows as well. She did a good job. But we have a great group of people. You have an awesome group of leaders in this house. They don't mind serving, and it doesn't matter how low it gets. So, amen. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about conversations with Jesus. I really didn't know what to call it, but the Lord started putting some things in my heart a few weeks ago about our conversations with Him, our relationship with Him, and what that looks like, and how that needs to be described. So my first question to you is, if you had to describe, and if you were to describe your relationship with God, what would you say? What would the words be? What would the words sound like? Another question would be, and I want you to think about that, but another question would be, does He ask you questions? Do you ask Him questions? I don't know of many relationships, I don't know of any relationship that is on the earth that doesn't have conversation in it. If you don't have a conversation, there's not much of a relationship. And in that conversation, if there aren't any questions, then you're not learning about each other. See, for a relationship to build and to thrive, you have to start learning more about each other. Is that true? Yeah. I don't know many relationships that will ever make it, boy, girl, man, and wife, that if there's going to be a relationship, there has to be some questions, right? And we want to make sure that our relationship with God is healthy enough that we can ask questions. There are some people that will say, just trust God, which we should, right? But they add this to it. Just trust God and don't ask Him any questions because you're bothering Him. He doesn't have time for your questions. Don't ask God. Matter of fact, just don't go to God with questions. Just trust Him. Yeah, trust Him. But you know, how many of you know that God wants dialogue with His children? He wants to be able to talk to you. He wants to be able to ask you questions. And He wants to be able to for us to ask Him questions. And I'll say this on the very beginning. There's never a time where God will not allow you to ask questions. You know, because he wants, and most of the time, all the time I know of with me, that whenever He asks me a question, He's wanting to start a conversation and me to be focused on whatever He's asking me about. You know, and some people get unnervy, I guess, when you begin to say that God asks you questions, that God speaks to you. Don't think I've ever heard His audible voice, but I've heard Him speak to me so many times on the inside, and I knew it was Him. And there's been some questions that He's asked me throughout my walk with Him, and mostly when he begins to talk to me in a question form, He's taken me somewhere that I've never thought of. Or I've never given a place to in my thought life or my walking with Him. And He wants to take me there so I can experience more of Him than I'm currently experiencing. Because His whole thing about having a family, you being born again, we become His children. We become His possession. And how many of you were around family on Thanksgiving, just raise your hand. Now, wouldn't it be something if you just walked in Thanksgiving Day and nobody ever spoke to each other? And somebody said, well, you know, that really happened at my house. So I was like, well, there's problems, you know. There's problems if that really happened. But we speak, we dialogue. And I guess some of the questions would be, how are you? How have you been doing? You know, what have you been up to? Just a lot of the general things. But they're also asking difficult questions sometimes, and they're asking funny questions, they're asking tender questions, and there's just a lot of questions that need to be asked, and God is telling us and wooing us by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to come in boldly to Him with great respect and great humility and ask Him the questions that we need to ask Him. But a lot of us are not, some of us, I should say, are not real, real great with that. And I honestly believe that this message today is God's calling to us to be able to come to Him and say, come and ask me anything you want. Anything that you want to ask me, just come and ask me. Come talk to me. And allow him, which he will, but give him, you know, just say, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear your voice. I need you to speak to me concerning whatever it is that you need to hear from him about. But I really do believe he enjoys walking with us in the journey with dialogue. You remember the on the road to Emmaus, you know, the two disciples, all the whole walk, they were dialogue. They were talking. There were questions being said and statements being made all along the way as they walked with Jesus. So we need to make sure that we don't have fear. There's a lot of people that are afraid because they have a wrong view of who God is, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. They have a wrong view of who God is, and they have a fear that is not healthy in our approach to him. Jesus paved the way for us to come boldly to the throne of grace in our need of help. And you know, we just don't go and say, well, I need help. No, we usually are specific about what help we need. And he dialogues with us in that. How many of you have really struggled in some areas and you cried out to God and asking him certain questions? You were very specific about your dialogue with God. See, relationships do that. The relationships just can't survive with how are you doing and what have you been up to. They can be shallow, but there's a lot of other things that you need to ask. And our relationship with God is going to even grow deeper when we begin to ask questions and when we hear the questions that he asks us to be able to respond to. But, you know, we get to know him better. We get to serve others better by questions. We get questions that lead us into direction and guidance. And we have questions that help us deal with the enemy. Amen? And we have questions that cause us to bask in his glory and the wonder of who he is. Just awesome. Well, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to show you some questions that Jesus asked. And Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13 through 19. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, watch this, he began asking questions. He began asking questions to his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Very specific. He didn't say, how are you doing? Are you guys okay? No, he said, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they began to answer the question. They said, well, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah and one of the prophets. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and I want you to hear their explanation or the answer to Jesus' question. What was his question? Who do people say that I am? So he's wanting them to tell him, what are you hearing about who I am from other people? Well, and then when you look at this thing and you say, some say John the Baptist, I think is very strange, I really do, but he just died. He was killed just a few months earlier, John the Baptist. So they're thinking resurrection and it's John the Baptist. He's raised from the dead. Then some of them say, you know, Elijah, then Jeremiah, and then some of them name other prophets. And I want you to hear what I'm about to say. All four of those are misconceptions about who Jesus is. They were great men. There were men that served God in ways that basically only they could do at that time. And but see, Jesus is who he is, and he wants people to recognize who he is. And a lot of people are equating him to other men of God or other men that are prophets, and because that's what they're used to. they're used to the scribes and the Pharisees. By the way, before this passage, before this section of Scripture, the section of Scripture before that, Jesus is actually teaching them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. To beware of the leaven. And they thought he was talking about bread because it was leaven. And they read, and he explained what he meant by it. It wasn't about the bread. It was about teaching. Beware of the teaching of men, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pharisees were very legalistic, and they majored on works from the law. The Sadducees were non-believers in miracles. They didn't believe in the resurrection, and they didn't believe in miracles. I run into people today that doesn't believe in miracles. Amazing to me. But I'm also amazed that some of the people that told me they didn't believe in miracles, when they needed one, they started believing. Now, I'm not being critical, I'm being very honest. You know, because some people say, well, you know, I don't believe the power of God is actually that, you know, doing all of that today. I think the day of miracles are gone. I don't know if you've ever heard that. I've heard it from several people. The day of miracles is gone. Well, I'm a witness to, that's not true. I'm a personal witness to tell you the day of miracles is not gone. I've had several miracles in my life. I've seen several miracles done in other people's lives. I have seen some miracles, not a lot. I've seen some miracles that God did working through me. You know, but it's all his glory. But see, when we have a fear and that we don't understand things, there's more questions that we need to ask. So these are distorted views. Now, how many of you know today that there are distorted views in people about who Jesus is? When you ask, who is Jesus to you? I mean, who is the Son of Man to you? Who is Jesus to you? You're going to hear a lot of different things. Some are going to say, he's God. Okay, he's God. Well, Jesus is God. Yeah, great, he is. That's who he is. But he's the Son of God as well, right? He is the Son of God. You know, you'll hear some people, but you know, you'll have some people that will have the doctrinal part of what they say he is, but they do not experience who he is in their walk with God because of their image of him is not the same as what their doctrine is. Did y'all understand that? Okay. They don't have the right image. And he's looking at saying, okay, I want you to have the right image. But see, he does all of this because he wants them to understand some people are saying things about me that are not true. He's not John the Baptist. He's not Elijah. He's not Jeremiah. And he's not one of the other prophets. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're going to hear that just in a moment as well. But one of the biggest problems that we see in some Christians is they don't have a great view of who Jesus is. And how do I know? Because I see a lot of Christians. I've been in this same group. Don't say I'm not including myself. Sometimes all of a sudden something will happen and we will have anxiety so quick. It was meant to bring us anxiety. And Jesus said, what? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Why? Because if you really view him as he really is, he's got it taken care of. Right? Even this thing, I know Teddy and Bobby, you know, and their families lost their mother, and mine's on the brink of entering in the pearly gates. And could be any minute. But if we really believe what God says and we really believe what Jesus said about himself, they're better off. They're much better off than we are. Plus, their mother, along with Miss Janet, their mother... And Miss Janet, they are with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want to say I envy that. You know, but that appointment is coming for all of us, including me. That appointed day to walk through that threshold of leaving this body and being forever present with God. That's who He is. So we got to believe, you know, if we, you know, we can either have a doctrine, he resurrected. No, Jesus didn't say He resurrects people. He said, I am the resurrection. So that's who do you say He's a resurrection? No, so God is, Jesus, God, they're all in working the plan together, the plan of heaven together in our lives so we can have a closer walk, a better experience, a higher experience with God, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. And not be, say, okay, I'm born again, and I'm just waiting for the rapture. You know, that's not God's plan. I'm not saying He won't be raptured. I'm saying for you to sit down and do nothing until the rapture comes, that's not God's plan. And we'll show you that in just a moment. But he doesn't stop there. You know, we can struggle when we begin to struggle with peace, when we begin to struggle with being restful, when we begin to struggle with the things of just being settled. It's usually because we have a wrong view and that is operating in us. We have a wrong view of who He is. Even after being born again for many, many years, we can easily slip into that. And Jesus knows that. God knows that. But, you know, I mean, I was taught when I was little, you know, God's going to get you. Growing up in a church, you know, God's going to get you, boy. You know, well, my image of God was, you know, all He thinks about is whooping. And that's what we called it. We didn't call it spanking. We called it whoopings. You know, I mean, you know, my image of God was saying He's around any corner, that He just may be around any corner waiting on me to mess up because that's what He's expecting me to do. And when He does, I'm going to get gotten. You know, wrong concept, wrong teaching, wrong view of God. And when you grow up with a distorted view of God, your whole life begins to be distorted because of that view. Everything about your life usually gets distorted too because of that view. Well, Jesus is after much more. He really is. Even in this conversation, He's after much more. But, you know, but when the enemy can't, you know, I wrote this down and said, if the enemy cannot, he can't stop you from believing in God. But what he tries to do is to pervert your view of Him so you will not be as active as you would be. He will lessen the amount of activity that we are doing in the kingdom. And some people are okay with that. I don't do nothing anyway. You know, just leave me alone. I'm waiting on the train. I'm not belittling salvation. Salvation is actually huge. But He saved you for something, not just for heaven. But anyway, He goes on and He says this. After they answer His question, He says this in verse 15. Who do you say that I am? Now, it's one thing to say, well, this is what other people are saying about you. But now He's asking you. And that question is for you and I today. Who do you say that He is? Who is He for you today? We have the reality of today. We have the reality of circumstances that if we go from one end to the other, there are many circumstances we go through. So we have the reality of the day, the reality of circumstance, and we have the reality of who He is for us in that moment. Who do you say that I am at this point in time? Once again, He wants us to get specific. He goes on and says, you know, Simon Peter's the only one. And he answers, and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I can imagine the other disciples. I can imagine the other disciples going, man, I wish I'd have thought of that. But he didn't think of it. He did not come up with it. He did not work his ideas and his thoughts to come up with who he was. Jesus looked at him and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Because why is he blessed? Enjoyed the song, blessed. Why is he blessed? He said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Then he goes on and says, but my Father who is in heaven. Who was talking to Peter? God the Father. So in this, you see that revelation was beginning to happen because of conversation. I can't prove it. I've got a sneaky suspicion. He's saying, Father, who is he? He may not have asked a question, but God responded and said, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then he doesn't stop there. Watch this. And I also say that you are Peter, little rock. You are a little stone. And upon this rock, not Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail or not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's about 8 things in this verse I want you to see. Number one, there's a conversation going on between Peter and God, Peter and the Father. Number two, there's a revelation that has been given. A lot of times when God begins to talk to us, he wants to reveal something and give us a new revelation, a fresh look at something that we've not seen it that way before. That's the reason dialogue is so important and asking questions is so important. Number three, Peter, after saying who Jesus is to him, Peter begins to hear from Jesus who he is to Jesus. Jesus did not have an identity problem when he said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? There's no identity issue with Jesus at this time. He's wanting to know, what are men saying? And I want you to know what men are saying, but I'm asking you now, what are you saying? Who do you say that I am? And upon him saying who Jesus is to him, he begins to get back from Jesus who Peter is to Jesus. You are the rock. You're a little stone. You're a little rock. And he goes on and he says, because of this, upon this rock, I will build my church. See, a church is being built in all of this. Power is being revealed. There is power of hell. And then he says, there's something that's being released. I'm giving you. And there's keys of the kingdom. That's another thing that's being revealed. Keys to the kingdom of heaven. Another thing is on earth. The impact of you knowing who Jesus is and then you receiving from him who you are, there's keys that's been going to be given to you that will impact earth. Yeah. See, we want the keys to impact earth without knowing him and without knowing who he says we are. There's a line in one of those songs that says, I am who he says I am. Because there's a lot of other voices saying to you who you are that you're really not. And it started way back a long time ago. Maybe some parents, maybe some teachers, maybe some neighbors. You'll never amount to anything. Well, that's not true. You hear what I'm saying. So, and then he talks about heaven. So there's a lot of things that's being revealed here. But I want you to hear that when you and I begin to see who he is to us, that in the process of us seeing and declaring who he is to us, he will declare and reassure who we are to him. Is that important to him? For you to know what he says about you is extremely important. Because we can fall prey to the enemy's scheme of all the things that the enemy wants us to get away from. Because if we believe this about ourselves, we believe this about ourselves, we believe that about ourselves, and none of it's from God. See, it doesn't matter what other people call you. Look, I was at work. This had been years and years and years ago. I was a Christian working at Hertz selling these in engineering, and I had this guy that was, I think if I just showed up, he hatred was there. You know what I'm saying? Didn't like me at all. Actually called me some bad names. And I'm like, God, you know, and then I'm sitting down for a cup of coffee. God sends another engineer my way. He sits down, has a cup of coffee with me. And this has been years ago. And he says, how you doing? I'm doing good. And he said, well, your face don't show that. And I said, well, I'm struggling a little bit. He said, what are you struggling with? And I began to say, well, this guy has called me this and called me this and called me this. I know he don't like me, but he calls me all kind of names. He took a sip of coffee, put it down. He said, is that who you are? And I said, no, then he ain't talking to you. It was just as simple. He said, then he ain't talking to you. To me, it was like, I really don't think this is Bill Richlick. That was his name. He must be an angel appearing as Bill Richlick. Because it set me free just like that. Why? Because I stopped hearing what others were saying about me and then started hearing what God was saying about me. I'm not all of that. So it's helped me a ton. So when people call me names and say all kind of things, you know, you just say, hey, you're talking about me. That's their view of me, but that's not me. That's a distorted view of who I am. Do you hear that? See, this can go a long way in our walk if we just let him teach us. I've really got to close, but I want to say two more questions that will help us along the way. But we'll say this, you can trust your identity when Jesus is telling you what it is. When he says you are more than a conqueror, guess what you can trust? You are more than a conqueror. When he says you are completely forgiven, guess what? You are completely forgiven. So Acts chapter 2, here's another question. There's all kind of activity going on. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's a mighty sound. There's a mighty wind. There's tongues of fire. There's all kind of languages being spoken that they didn't go to school to learn. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 12, all people begin to be amazed and greatly perplexed, saying this to one another. Here's the question. Are you ready? What does this mean? Get that question inside you. What does this mean? That's a question that you will ask God many times. What does this mean? You go through things, what does this mean? Don't ask why. Why is a victim? Why is victim mentality? Don't ask why. Just say, what does this mean? And then you ask him, what does this mean in mine and your relationship? What does this mean? You know, when you have grief, what does this mean? What does this mean to mine and your relationship? What are you wanting me to know? Because I'm experiencing this, what is it that you want me to know? Why? It's asking questions to the Lord. It's asking questions to God to help me understand. And then you begin to partner with God when he tells you what this means. See, the Bible says that we're co-laborers with Christ, with God. We think God is co-laborers with us. Y'all hear that? Bible says we are co-laborers. In other words, we co-labor with his agenda. Yes. He is co-laboring with us on his agenda. We co-labor with him. Does that make sense? Okay. And then here's the last one. As we ask him questions, what does this mean? Get that question down. Write it down. What does this mean? Then the other question is, what shall we do? In verse 38, they said, brethren, what shall we do? What does this mean? And once an explanation comes, what shall we do? This is where you have to get from the pew, from the seat, and do whatever it is that it takes to co-labor and partner with God as saying what this means and why you're experiencing this. So we need to understand that there are things that happens in our life. We need to know who he is for us at that moment. Not just a doctrinal thing, but how we experience God in the midst of our life. See, if our view of God is small, then our faith is going to be small. Our works are going to be small. But see, what God wants us to know is that he has something for us to understand, and he also has something for us to do in the midst of everything that's going on. Once he explains to you what's going on, what does this mean? What does this mean with you and I? You know, why? You know, when you look, I almost said, why am I going through this? Well, that's a victim again, but see, what is it that you want me to know? What is it? Then he said, what must I do? What am I to do? What do you want me to do? What do you, you know, we will either gain search for the understanding of what we're supposed to do, or we will turn around and a lot of people will mock the very thing that God is trying to teach us in the midst of it. Are you hearing me? For instance, King David's wife, Michal. David is bringing in the presence of God, the Ark of God, which is the presence of the Lord, into his city. Would you be excited about a manifested presence of God in your city? Yes. Would you be so excited that you would dance unto him and not worry about what people said about it? See, we already have his presence. We want his manifested presence in a lot of different ways. But instead of asking, what does this mean, David? No, she ridiculed it, she despised it, and she mocked it. You know what happened? Because of that, because he danced and she didn't like the dancing. I love the dancers. I truly do. I'm glad they're back. I really am. I really am. And you know, but he danced and she despised him. She just ridiculed him, made fun of him, mocked him. And David actually said, you think this is undignified? It's going to get worse than this. Why? His heart is overwhelming. I mean, just overflowing because the presence of God, which they did not have for many, many years. Now the presence of God is back in the city. She despised it, and the Bible says that she was barren and never bore any children. There's a cost for mocking and criticizing what people are doing for God, with God, in the midst of his presence. Better not touch it. You better celebrate it. If you don't understand it, ask, what does this mean? Instead of standing over here criticizing and just, are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
All right. Got so much to say, but just a little time. So here's some questions that I want you to think about. Allow God to ask you these questions, and he has, one time or another. Do you believe what I believe in you? What I believe about you, do you believe it? Do you know that my plans for you are to make you as glorious as Jesus? No, wait just a minute. That's blasphemy. No, that's not blasphemy. That's scripture. The Ephesians says that he's going to make you into a glorious church without spot, without blemish. That's like Jesus, no spots and no blemish. Here's a question. Are you settled with your walk with me? Are you really open for more? Do you see yourself as victorious in Jesus? Is there an impossible situation that you have? Will you let me in on it? He loves impossible situations. All we got to do is have an. How many of you have an impossible? You think right now there's an impossible situation for you? Raise your hand. I see half a dozen, probably more than that now. All you have to, you know, Jesus, this is an impossible situation. But here's who you are to me. You do the impossible. So I'm asking you to tell me what this means. What does this mean? And how am I supposed to partner with you in this impossible situation? I'm telling you, that's a walk that is far beyond where most of us currently are. Listen to this one. Are you ready to receive what I am delighted to give? Well, I want to know what you're going to give first. Are you ready to receive? See, you don't trust him. Now, I held out on God for many, many years in my early Christian life. You know why? I did not want to go to Africa. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not going to sell out to God on all of this stuff. He may send me to Africa, and I don't want to do that. You know, then he dealt with me all through the years. Then here's another one. What do you want me to be for you right now? What do you want me to be for you right now? See, God's just an idea. He's a person. He wants a relationship with us that are real to him, can ask him questions, and can wait for an answer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The people in this county are looking for followers of Christ that they don't. They'll scratch their head and wonder, how can you be this strong in the middle of all this stuff? I'm not worried about the election. Praying, but I'm not worried about it. Because when we do not see God as the conqueror, when we do not see God as being in total charge, we will live the life of anxiety and worry. Regardless of what happens, he's still on the throne, he's still my God, and there's no other God like him. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that you invite us to ask questions. You invite us to walk with you, to talk with you, and for you to talk with us. Lord, may our relationship with you deepen even after this message today, after hearing your word concerning these things. May our walk with you deepen as we converse with you as we go, as well as in the prayer closet. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity of being co-laborers with you for the glory of who you are. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, online streamers. We thank you so much for being with us, and we say God bless, and come back and visit with us next week. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.